These schools are extremely expensive. Costs run from about $4,000 per student on the road system to over $16,000 per student in the remote villages.
And they have taken students here that were at the bottom of the ladder, and they've advanced 4 and 5 grades in 1 year. Now that takes time and effort, but the teachers did it.
So the schools are very expensive, and people are wondering if the quality of education they deliver is worth the cost. They see low achievement test scores. They see kids coming to the University of Alaska unprepared to do college work. And they begin to wonder, have we made a mistake in this policy of starting a small school in every village that wants one?
Rural high schools, what do Alaskans think about them? Are they successful? Can they prepare our young people for college? These are some of the questions researchers at the University of Alaska set out to answer in their year-long study of the village high schools.
All right, let's go over balance and antithesis first on page 68. And what's balance, Julie?
It's Monday morning in Dot Lake, a community of about 80 residents along the Alaska Highway. Gary Leedy, the principal teacher here, is conducting an English class for the 10 high school students in the village. In another month, 2 students will graduate from the school. Both will enter college in the fall. People in Dot Lake are proud of their new high school, although they recognize it has its limitations. Paul Trotsky is chairperson of the Dot Lake Advisory School Board.
Prior to this, we were having trouble even getting high school graduates, much less hoping to send somebody to college. But I think the scholastic level has raised, and the teachers have been able to motivate the kids to go on afterwards. There's something out there that's worthwhile pursuing.
The situation in Dot Lake is not unique, according to researchers at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Dr. Bill McDermott, who co-authored the report on the rural high school, says since the state began building the village schools in 1976, graduation rates in rural Alaska have nearly tripled.
One of the clearest indications we found that the small village high schools are working is the rather dramatic increase in high school graduation rates among Alaska Natives. The rate now is beginning to approximate that of the national average. And there's every reason to believe that by the next decade, the high school graduation rates of Alaska Natives will be on a par with that of the general population.
Darwin's Theory of Evolution and Survival of the Fittest is one essay, and Social Darwinism and Herbert Spencer is the other.
100 miles down the road from Dot Lake, high school students in the village of Northway begin their afternoon social studies class. Although this school has less than 100 students, its athletic program is considered among the best in the state. Most students here say they prefer the small high school. Ninth grader Warren Maher spent some time at one of the comprehensive high schools in Fairbanks.
In a bigger school like that, there's drugs and you don't know anybody. In a small school like this, you know everybody and you know what they're like, but in a bigger school, it's just, you don't know anybody, you just make a few friends and I don't know. It's just a lot easier in a small school like this.
Researchers found that village high schools have numerous advantages. Children can grow up at home with their families. Student-teacher ratios are low, so children receive a lot of individualized instruction. And rural parents say they have more control over their schools than urban parents. But while small schools have a lot of benefits, researchers found they also face some serious problems. Dr. Judith Kleinfeld.
Neither the rural high schools nor the boarding schools that preceded them have done a good job in preparing kids for college. If you take a close look at college success statistics, at least here at the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, where we have good records, what you see is that the kids are no worse off under the village high schools than they were under the boarding schools. Rural kids have always had a hard time doing well in a traditional college setting. The village schools haven't improved it, but they haven't hurt the kids either.
Tomorrow, in part 2 of our series, we'll look at the state's controversial decision to reopen the Mount Edgecombe Boarding School in Sitka. For Alaska Public Radio, this is Sue Corte in Fairbanks.
I think that philosophically a boarding school option is great because it will provide that village parent an alternative to sending his child, his or her child, to a local school that does provide for many limited services.
The state spent millions of dollars to build our high schools, and now they're going to turn right around and defeat it themselves by starting up Mount Edgecombe, and they're going to draw these kids out of schools that have less than 25 students. That's crazy.
Although rural people like their local high schools and don't want to lose them, they also recognize that the small high school may not serve every student well. A new report from the Institute of Social and Economic Research indicates that village residents and rural educators want a boarding school option. However, researchers also found there is no consensus that Mount Edgecombe should be that option. The controversy over Mount Edgecombe revolves around money and students. State officials estimate it will cost nearly $4 million a year to educate the 175 boarding and 25 day students expected to enroll in the school this fall. Northway principal Neil Larch says these funds could be better spent strengthening the existing small high schools.
I oppose the opening of Mount Edgecombe because the funding that's going to come from Mount Edgecombe is funding that's going to be affecting the REAs and the borough schools and this type of thing. It's got to come from somewhere. So you have to take it from there. And I feel very strongly about this, and which means that programs that we've developed under the funding of the state and have them in place and ongoing are going to have to be shut down. And if they reduce the budget and can't meet the inflationary cost of education, something has to give, because there's no tax base. You can't raise taxes out here. And that's the only thing we can depend on is the legislature, and obviously they're going to cut.
At a more fundamental level, rural school principals are worried about losing students to Mount Edgecombe. Dr. Judith Kleinfeld's year-long study of the village high school finds that about half the principals of small high schools expect to lose students to Mount Edgecombe.
In a financial sense, opening Mount Edgecombe will have a negative impact if the foundation program is kept the way it is. Right now, if two students leave, that means perhaps the school loses the amount of money for a teacher aide or most of a teacher. So there's a substantial loss for the kids who remain.
Officials at Mount Edgecombe say they're not trying to compete with the small high schools for students. Larry Roshlow, director of Mount Edgecombe, says he expects a number of his students to come from correspondence study, from communities that have no high school, such as the Pribilofs, and from boarding homes in Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks. Roshlow points out that urban communities in Alaska have alternative high schools, and that the same option should be available to rural parents. Gary Leedy, principal teacher in Dot Lake, agrees that the small high school cannot serve every student.
We are limited in curriculum, we're limited in extracurricular, and we're limited in social aspects. And no matter how innovative we get, those limitations are going to continue to exist. And I should think that for some children who just perhaps developmentally or emotionally are opposed to this kind of rural life, and perhaps also for talented children who possess special talents in performing arts or art or music or whatnot, that a boarding school alternative would be very much worthwhile.
Dr. Kleinfeld points out that state policy on rural education swings back and forth. In the early 70s, lawmakers were shocked to find out about the tremendous social and emotional damage incurred by some village students who attended boarding schools. Then, with the Molly Hooch case, lawmakers felt it was best to keep the kids in the village. Now, in the 80s, they're returning to the boarding school concept. Kleinfeld says it's a difficult situation because there's no perfect solution.
My guess is that the situation will stabilize with village high schools and some sort of boarding option. And I think that's a good solution. I think that's the best compromise in a complicated situation.
For Alaska Public Radio, this is Sue Corte in Fairbanks.
Paradox is a statement that seems to offer a contradiction. Let's look at a pretty simple one, shall we? Turn over to page 92. White boys riot for no reason except an impulse of the season. Dark boys huddle in a prison, for rising with the people risen. What's paradoxical about it, Jeff?
for rising with the people already risen. They're already risen.
So how can you rise? Yeah.
Researchers at the University of Alaska Fairbanks found that not only can small rural high schools work, but at their best, they represent one of the most promising environments possible for quality education. In a small high school, teachers can give students the time and attention, as well as the emotional support needed for mastery learning. Ninth grader Warren Maher, who spent some time at a comprehensive high school in Fairbanks, says he prefers a village school.
Smaller school like this, and the teachers have more time with you. They get more time with you, and you can go and, you know, they have a lot more time to work with you and get your grades up. In bigger school, you can, but it takes a little more work.
Schools that work in rural Alaska share common characteristics, researchers found. Dr. Bill McDermott says one ingredient for success is simply good teachers. That is, enterprising teachers who are willing to take risks necessary to meet their educational goals. Another ingredient for success, according to McDermott, has to do with the curriculum.
In schools that are working, what we found was that there's a theme that runs through the curriculum. Okay? What the theme is doesn't seem as important as the existence of a theme that the community and the teachers together have agreed upon is the theme. And let me give you an example. For one of the schools we visited had as its theme language development. So that regardless of what students were doing, whether it was math or science or social studies or English, this was the focus of activities.
Cooperation between school personnel, the community, and the central office is the third characteristic of village schools that work. On the other hand, where the school was not working well, researchers found staff do not seek guidance from community members.
The teachers blame the parents and say, well, the parents don't support the school and they don't care about education. They don't get their kids to school on time. Kids don't do their homework, da, da, da. It's the parents. And then you talk to the parents and the parents say, well, those teachers are just here. You know, the teachers are carpetbaggers. They're just here to get their money so they can go buy outside and buy their farm in Oregon or wherever. They don't care about the kids. They don't care about the community. They never come down off the hill. And the kids, generally, you know, being smart, know how to play these two sides off against each other, and they do it very effectively.
Researchers conclude that small high schools in rural Alaska can provide tremendous educational opportunities if the staff and community work together. Dr. Judith Kleinfeld says the results of this study should help foster a more accurate image about the effectiveness of village high schools.
What I hope this report will do is to blow away the cloud of suspicion that hangs over rural high schools, this feeling that these schools just can't work, and whatever problems rural kids have, it's the fault of the small high schools. I think it's time to realize that these small high schools are schools like other schools. Some of them are doing quite well. Others of them, there's quite a lot of room for improvement. But the people out there are doing a good job, and things are fundamentally getting better.
For Alaska Public Radio, this is Sue Corte in Fairbanks.